Croy Hawkins rides to the rescue. Good morning to you.
Morning, morning.
Do you want to comment on Reddit or shall we move on? Are you a Redditor?
No.
I always sneak on there where I want to know something I'm not supposed to know, actually. It's remarkably well informed, that particular social map platform. Croy Hawkins is way too busy for too much social media. He's RNZ's Pacific editor. Let's have a look. The Solomon Islands election campaigning's well underway. Do we have a front runner, Croy?
Yeah, so the largest political party in the country is the incumbent prime minister. We still say acting prime minister, Manase Songkuvarin. He's our party. And the reason they've surfaced this week is a speech he did in one of his campaign rallies where he praised China's political system, and the ABC went big on this and latched onto that. And he was saying that, even suggesting that democracy leads to moral decay. And so he's really, despite his saying internationally that, you know, friends to all, enemy to none, it's actually something that seems to be that he is pretty much leaning in the direction of being supporting China. So he had this massive speech, and he had an expanded spiel where he said the Chinese Communist Party was not the Chinese Communist Party of old, and he went down a weird line that the CCP persecuting the LGBT community being more in line with Solomon Islands Christian principles, but conveniently leaving out all of the other groups, obviously, including Christians, ironically, that have been persecuted by the CCP. The ABC is calling Songkuvare a favourite, but if you look at history, there has never been a Solomon Islands prime minister that survived an election. So if he does pull it off, he will be the first to run two consecutive terms. In fact, there's a period there where prime ministers struggled to complete a single term in Solomon Islands. There was so much political instability.
His relationship with China obviously has rattled geopolitics in the region. How much critiquing has it come in for in Solomon's itself? I recall a senior parliamentarian challenging it in the parliament, and that was quite the to-do.
There was, I remember that at the time of the switch in 2019, there was very little public consultation. And so there was a part of the community that were irked by that lack of consultation, but also wary of what the CCP would mean. And also that you had this massive decades-long relationship with Taiwan, and there'd been people-to-people relationships, health, all of this kind of thing. So there was a bad taste in that switch. He has, I think, managed to turn around that tide of public opinion with the massive spectacle of the Pacific Games and the huge stadium that's there in the city now. It's probably one of the prettiest things in Honiara, that national stadium, massive concrete thing. So he's really riding on that, and he's campaigning and saying that, look at what we've delivered. Look at what we've got, more things in the pipeline coming, you know, all these massive promises. But there are a group of people that are in the country, intellectuals, obviously the opposition, that's saying at what cost, you know, like what are the strings attached to this, you know?
If it's rare for a PM to win the next election, who are the other contenders? Are there any of note?
Well, the opposition leader, Matthew Wale, probably fancies himself a good shoo-in. There's a young politician, Peter Kenny Laurier Jr., who stood in the last election as his father. He's got a bit of a pedigree to him. His father was the first Prime Minister of Solomon Islands, and on his deathbed asked his son to run. So he's come in with a bit of that integrity, and he's quite well-spoken. He's been to the UN. He served in international fora. So he's a really well-spoken individual, and he's probably the only one so far that has suggested any kind of a switch away from China. So there is really, I think, one of the big things about this election, and I'm hoping to get over to Honiara in a couple of weeks for this, because it was that switch to China was the start of all of the geopolitical, the catalyst for it to really spike to where it is today. And then the security cooperation agreement that Honiara signed with Beijing, that was a massive worry for the US and Western allies in that. So it's really sort of the the hub of where all of the things and the switch of China's influence in the region happens. So it'll be interesting to see if you have another pro-Chinese prime minister coming out of this election, or someone who's actually looking to wind back some of that influence.
And how difficult that might be, as you say, with a big spend on the stadium and other things. And there's policing also. I think there's a policing cooperation agreement as well.
Yes, all of that.
Heavy rain and flash flood warnings remain in force for Fiji. What's happening at the moment? What's bearing down?
Yes, it's been a pretty rough week for Fiji. Schools in Fiji's Viti Levu province remain closed today. Heavy rain warning remains in force for the whole of the Fiji group. Cloud and rain expected to continue to affect the country for the next few days. There's a flash flood warning in force for parts of Vanua Levu, which is on the main island, and Viti Levu. And a flood alert for near major Viti Levu rivers has been cancelled. So last night, the Ministry of Education also urged private schools to prioritise safety. And there's also the government calling on public officials also to work from home if it's safer to do so. Yeah, so we're just keeping an eye on that. The Minister for National Disaster Management, Sakiasi Ditoka, visited flood-affected areas in the Western Division yesterday. But yeah, just more of that rain. And we saw also early in the week... Tonga was preparing as well for some wet weather coming up as well. So having some pre-meetings with the disaster committees and that.
Can you believe there's another COP coming around? COP29. Azerbaijan is the host. And what will be the presence of the small island states with so much at stake and so much immediately at stake, Koroi?
Yeah, so I was trying to look at what actually happened in COP 28. And so I think the biggest thing...
27, 26, 25.
The biggest thing they said was that it was the first global stocktake of like the world's efforts to address climate change under the Paris Agreement. So with that progress being shown as too slow, obviously, in the areas of climate action and everything. So that the idea for this COP, I think, is what countries are pushing for, is to get increased intensity across the board. And so what we were following this week was an alliance of small island states, 42 low-lying and small island countries coming together in Copenhagen this week. The meeting started overnight to try and push for that ambitious COP29 outcome. And the host, Azerbaijan, obviously are there also to listen to these small island developing states. So the messaging obviously is that we're going too slow. Things might already be too far out of reach, and there really is a need for intense action.
Indeed. How senior are the figures going to this? Is it one where we get leaders attending?
It says that there will be climate leaders, 40 leaders and climate ministers from around the world. I guess this would be in the weeds a bit, so they would be looking for more technical people, more ministerial sort of level people that are closer in touch to really drive the thing before the leaders come together, obviously, for the top end of the thing.
All right. Let's have a look ahead to sports coming up this weekend. Plenty happening. What have you got your eyes on?
Yeah, so obviously following the Moana and the Drua, so the Fiji Drua camp have named its teams to meet the Waratahs in a Super Rugby Pacific doubleheader in Lautoka on Saturday. It's so good, actually, to see Super Rugby Pacific out in the islands. There's massive followings there and some good results as well at home. Fijian Drua men's head coach Mick Byrne has recalled five key players to the starting team: winger Taniela Rakuro, halfback Frank Lomani, and hooker Tevita Ikanivere are set to start. The Fijian Drua women's coach Mosese Aroluni has retained the majority of the team as well that defeated the Reds in Brisbane in their opening Super W game. The only change is hooker Vika Matarungu, who's to start at number two. The Fijian Drua meet the Waratahs at 1 p.m. on Saturday in Fiji time before the Fijian Drua take on the Waratahs women's team.
So, plenty to look forward to, and some good results, are you saying? Are we seeing some surprises at all?
I think that both teams are doing better than they have in the previous two seasons, so that's really good. We've got some interesting football as well going on, obviously a football man myself. And there's an actual women's Champions League in the Oceania region now, which is really great to see. So Hikari United from Papua New Guinea will meet Auckland United in Honiara on Saturday. The two teams booked their spots to the final with wins in Wednesday semi-finals in the National Stadium. Hikari scored two late goals in extra time against Fiji's Lambasa to win their clash. Auckland United also scored their winner in extra time against Vanuatu's Taffy FC. So great again to see women's sport really taking some prominence in the region. And there's actually Vanuatu Women's Beach Volleyball who are touring as well. The duo preparing for the Asia Continental Cup event in June. They'll have to win to qualify for the 2024 Olympics. They are Majabel Lawak and Linlin Matauta, who've only played three tournaments together so far, but massive experience in that.
Is this women's tournament part of the amazing work that Sarai Bierman's led with the global football, with FIFA? She's been responsible. She's an incredible administrator and achiever.
I think it is.
She's, I think, amongst her many roles,
yes.
She, including in football, in Samoa, I think in particular, I think she's now globally responsible for the expansion of these FIFA
it's
women's
so good.
Competitions.
Like, you only go back 5 years, I don't think there even was a club tournament.
She really is one of the great administrators anywhere, anytime, but there you go. Thank you very much. That is our Pacific editor, our NZ Pacific editor, Koroi Hawkins.